the mighty nation. Bless the book,
hello,
all
everyone,
of creation.
And welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I'm your host, Lori Anderson, and I am joined with John O. And we've been discussing the antique MSM. So if you find hilarious the propaganda and the fake news, when you do share something to let other people know that it's fake news, please make sure to stick with that hashtag, hashtag antique in all lowercase, and capitalize MSM. We want them to feel and realize that we all know that they're just dinosaurs, because we provide proof. Would you agree with that, John?
I would absolutely agree with that. Boy, that clip, I haven't heard that clip before, and the arrogance on that lady, it's just, she's just dripping with arrogance. It's just unbelievable.
Well, not only arrogance, okay, but here's the thing. In a court of law in the United States of America, it's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. So in the court of law in the United States of America, somebody accuses you. The person who is the accuser has to prove to a jury beyond the shadow of a doubt, no doubt, that you did what you're being accused of. Otherwise, they have to let you go and find you not guilty.
Well, over the course of history, absolutely. How many hundreds of news reports have we heard in our lifetimes about things like, U.S. Army barracks in such and such place was bombed by terrorists? I mean, they always name the place, always say what was hit, what was bombed,
right?
Because there's no repercussion by doing that. It actually helps make the case.
Well, and the funny thing is, when you see this clip from the U.S. State Department, it's funny because and she works for RT Media. She works for the Russian media, but she holds up those pictures. She's on it. Okay. Now, it doesn't matter if she works for state-run media or not. She's asking honest, truthful questions. It doesn't matter who you are. She's being a journalist, and this individual wants us to buy into, well, hospitals were bombed because we said they were bombed. Oh, well, we got our intel from probably what? The white helmets? Just saying, who are working with Anwar al-Sharia, the terrorists that our U.S. government and other governments arm, fund, and train? Now, so this is the kind of stuff that, you're never going to hear on dinosaur media or antique MSM. You're not going to hear it because they're too worried about, how many times did Donald Trump chew a steak? Because they didn't get to cover him in a dinner that he went to. So I guess we, as we always do, will cover the real news and we'll leave the light work to them. Sounds good to me. They can cover Facebook. So what I want, and the reason, believe it or not, I really, really, and I know that you're on there, Fred, please hang on. I am going to pull you in just a minute. I need to get this done because there is a very strong reason I'm bringing all of these individual clips up, Russia and Syria and what is really going on. And the reason being is this is going to go into the president-elect of the United States pick for the Secretary of Defense. Okay. Now, on August the 9th, 2016, Elizabeth Trudeau, the same woman who was just on there, she was speaking in the daily briefing at the U.S. State Department. Okay. And, of course, Matt Lee is a pretty phenomenal individual for asking the questions. Now, I haven't seen the articles that show what he's asking. That does not mean that they don't exist. I just have not seen them. But I know one thing. He is a heck of a person standing to their face asking them legitimate questions. And he really kind of gets down to the nuts and bolts of things, if you will. So what I would like to do is, you've heard me, and we've said this over and over and over and over again, that the United States government arms, funds, and trains the terrorists. Okay? Russia was invited by Syria to help Syria defeat these monsters who are cutting off children's heads, murdering innocent men, women, and children. They are over there with the intent to overthrow Assad because, you know, he doesn't go along with that globalist faction, if you will. Because at one point, Assad was actually very friendly with the United States government until he refused to go along with their globalist plan. You know, and it goes back to the natural gas pipeline and all of this good old stuff. So if you could go ahead and I'm going to prove to you that they do fund rebels that behead Syrian children. And the thing is what they don't say tells you everything. So if you could please play LV3.
Matt, and then I'm going to go to Nick.
Just very briefly on Aleppo and this group that is allegedly involved was involved in breaking the siege. The rebel group, the ones that were accused of beheading beheading this child. One, do you know if the reports are true that they are in, or were involved in the fighting around Aleppo recently?
So we've seen reports. That the alleged perpetrators in last month's video have been seen fighting in Aleppo. I'm not in a position to confirm.
Okay. Should it become confirmed that they are? Is that an issue for you guys?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, when reports of the beheading came out, we strongly condemned, you know, the barbaric actions seen on that video, no matter what group was responsible. We note that that group had also said that they would hold those individuals to account. We're not in a position to confirm if that's happened, but we do expect all parties to comply with obligations under the law of armed conflict.
So you're unaware that there has ever been a resolution to this specific...
I am not in a position to confirm that, no.
...case. And then just the other thing, which I think you probably won't answer, but is this group still being supported by, or was it ever supported by the United States?
So for security reasons, we do not comment on which groups are funded by the United States. However, we don't support groups that commit this sort of barbarity, period.
Okay. So that would suggest, imply, without saying it directly, that if a group were to have done something like this and it had been getting U.S. support, it would no longer be eligible for U.S. support.
I just repeat my last point. We do not support groups.
Is it against the rules to complete a syllogism?
It is for security reasons. We don't indicate which groups we do support. It's policy.
I'm asking you if you don't support them, not if you do.
What I'm saying is that we don't support groups that would engage in this sort of barbarity.
That would engage.
That may have engaged. Okay,
So let's be clear, because Mr. Kirby was also asked about this at different times. So let's be clear. The reason they're not answering is because absolutely they do. Because if they did not, the first thing they would do, oh, no, absolutely, we did not support them. We didn't arm them. We didn't train them. We didn't have anything to do with them. We denounce them 100%. That is the first thing that our government would be doing and the State Department would be doing if they weren't involved in funding them. Now, Kirby, at a different time, was asked about it, and, you know, he was wishy-washy, of course. Well, you know, it would depend, and blasé, blasé this, and blasé, blasé that. There's always an excuse. We are arming, funding, and training terrorists, and people need to understand that. Not just us, and I don't mean us as individuals. I'm talking about the corrupt politicians that are glowing along with the elites that are destroying the globe. Okay? Russia's not the bad guy in this because Russia is actually killing terrorists. I'm sorry if it hurts the United States government's feelings that they're terrorists, that they support, arm, fund, and train with our money without our permission or getting killed. Then don't put them in there. Then don't fund them. Then don't train them. Then don't arm them. Then don't give them our military weapons, because eventually our guys get stuck in the hot zone and they face our own hardware. Do you understand how serious that is, guys?
Totally.
You will face your own hardware if you do not wake up and refuse to go along with this. You know, years ago, when Obama wanted to draw that red line, I was so proud of our military because they started an online thing, and they of course didn't show their faces, which was fine, but they had the signs. They said, I will not fight in Syria to protect the terrorists. I will not fight with the terrorists. And I was so proud of them. Where is that now?
Yeah, they got sick of it because they've already had to face their own hardware many times.
And right.
Yeah, so they were set up.
Right. So what I want to say...
But they've also been weeded out, too. Let's not forget that. They've been weeded out.
Yes, they have. Now,
the commanders have been weeded out, especially.
Yes. And so now here it comes the point. Some individuals have asked me, do I support President-elect Donald Trump's pick for the Secretary of Defense, General James Mad Dog Mattis? And I'm going to tell you from the depths of my soul, no. And then I'm going to explain why. First of all, let me say, just because I do not support him being Secretary of Defense does not mean I do not have high respect for the man. Okay? He is known as the Marine's Marine. He loves his guys. There is no doubt in my mind that he truly loves his Marines. And he loves our military. And that's a good thing. If you're stuck in a foxhole with somebody, he's somebody you would want to be stuck in a foxhole with. Okay? So it is not to detract from him being a phenomenal Marines Marine. It is not to detract from his many years of service. And it is not to detract or to talk down about him, because that is not what I'm doing. I'm just going to speak the truth. Okay? James Mattis, he supported arming, funding, and training the Syrian terrorists, known as the Syrian rebels. He also was in NATO. I don't know how much of you know that. But he was also in the U.S. Joint Forces Command. The Pentagon announced May the 31st of 2006 that Lieutenant General Mattis was chosen to take command of the Marine Expeditionary Force based out of the Marine Corps Base Camp in Pendleton. In 2007, Secretary of Defense Robert Gates announced that George Bush had nominated Mattis for appointment to the rank of General Command to the U.S. Joint Forces Command in Norfolk. NATO agreed to appoint Mattis as Supreme Allied Commander Transformation. On September 28, 2007, the United States Senate confirmed Mattis' nomination. Okay. He also supports the two-party Israel, the two-state. He still felt it was good to go into Iraq. He is, for all intents and purposes, pro-invasion. And I'm sad to say that, but he is. He was in Fallujah.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, he was in Fallujah, Operation Vigilant Resolve, Operation Phantom Fury. It also says Mattis ordered the 3 a.m. bombing of suspected, by the way, enemy safe house near the Syrian border, which later became known as the Makarib, and I hope I said that right, I may not have, wedding party massacre, which resulted in the locally reported deaths of 42 civilian men, women, and children who were attending a wedding celebration, and Mattis stated that it had taken him 30 seconds to deliberate on the bombing location. So, what I'm saying is, I have no doubt of his qualifications as a warrior. I have no doubt of his qualifications and his loyalty to his Marines and to make sure that they get out of wherever they are in safely. However, Donald Trump has assured the American people, which includes me, that he's not pro-invasion. He has assured the American people that we're going to stop trying to be policemen of the world. We shouldn't put our nose in stuff that's not our business. Right? With
you bring up a really
respect,
good point because...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, you bring up a really good point because what's been really bothering me lately, which touches on exactly what you're talking about, and well, I do want to point something out first, is that, you know, we're talking about what you're doing, letting the truth draw you to your conclusions. And so instead of, you know, emotion and hype and rhetoric, you're letting the truth of his decisions, where he's, what it has been, what he's supported, and what he's done, the truth of it draw you to your conclusions. And that's what we need to do. And I see a lot of people with the whole overall Trump situation is everybody wanted him in so bad, and that now that he's gotten in, he's making some horrible decisions on his appointments. I mean, stuff that's just making me sick. And but you have people who are supposedly liberty supporters and freedom fighters supporting these decisions and making excuses for them. And I can't understand it. I just, it boggles my mind. And but there's no excuse. He's bringing in, you know, plenty of globalists, plenty of establishment, plenty of warmongers, and that's the truth of it.
Now, also, for the Afghan war, right? During the initial planning for the war in Afghanistan, Mattis led Task Force 58 in operations in the southern part of the country, becoming the first Marine Corps officer to ever command the Naval Task Force in combat. Okay, so he's also pro-Saudi Arabia. So when you look at quote-unquote mainstream, right, or dinosaur media, true, they report that he is for supporting our allies. Well, which allies are you talking about? Are you talking about Saudi Arabia that's bombing Yemen? And just like everybody sitting here panicked about Trump with a nuke, while Obama's sitting there bombing Yemen from our ships to help Saudi Arabia. Why are we helping Saudi Arabia? I'm sorry. I mean, seriously, why? Muslim Brotherhood connections, but we'll just leave that to a different day. So my point is this. Whether it is possibly because I have not dug into Flint, okay, and I'm not going to say one way or another whether I agree or disagree with Flint, but I know just from looking at the history of James Mad Dog Mattis, General James Mattis, who obviously is a, when you're talking strategically and when you're talking about someone that you would want to defend the United States of America, let me tell you what, he'd be one of them, for real. He is a, when it comes to his experience and the things like that and him loving his men, he's real. He really loves his men, and that you definitely need a leader that does that. But here's my question. Does he love his men enough to not send them into a country on an illegal invasion? Or does he just simply love his men enough that once they're in that illegal invasion, he'll protect them? There's a huge difference. because I personally, I love our men enough, our men and our women enough that are in the armed forces, not to send them into an illegal invasion under the pretense of a fake war, because it's not war. War hasn't been declared since World War II. Everything else, they're trying to do it under the AUMF. Actually, that's what they do it under, is the AUMF, which actually had to do with 9/11. Just saying, and it had to do with the enemies who had attacked us because of 9/11. Well, that should be Saudi Arabia, should it not? Especially after the parts of that was leaked out. They're from Saudi Arabia. So I'm going to point out something. Whether we like what I'm saying or not, you can look up the facts for yourself. He is pro-invasion, and the stuff that he is standing for and that has stood for, unless he has repented, and I don't see anything proving that point, then the fact of the matter is it is not going to change with the massacre of humanity around the globe. Okay? And he absolutely should not, in my opinion, be Secretary of Defense for these factual reasons. Now, there is another general. His name is General Wesley Clark. Okay? And in March, on March the 2nd of 2007, he was on Democracy Now. Kind of an oxymoron, but that's the title of that show. And he exposed something. Now, remember, this is in 2007. Okay? And it really needs to be remembered. This is before Barack Obama came into office. This was Bush days. You know? Just saying. So, if you could, this general warned people, and of course, Antique MSM never reported on it. If you could please play LV5.
Iran right now, and I know you just came from a discussion on Iran. Here's a question I have, because I saw a quote that you had the other day in USA Today. Absent Iran's help, you said.
Sorry, wrong one, everyone. He'll be getting to the correct clip.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, No. He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq? Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do." I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda?" He said, No. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments." So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office, today. And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran."
So go through the countries again?
Well, starting with Iraq, then Syria and Lebanon, then Libya, then Somalia and Sudan, and then back to Iran.
So right there shows you that this General Wesley Clark exposed this in 2007. Now that is sad. That did you ever hear of that off of any antique MSM?
Definitely not MSM.
Oh, exactly. Because then their little propaganda hand would have been played. Now, what I'm going to do is, because I've got a caller on the line, we only have approximately 30 more minutes in the show. I want to get to the caller, and then I'm going to share. Is Fred not on the line anymore? Okay. Fred, if you want to call back, I can go ahead and take your call. I'm going to share with you a clip of General Mattis. Now, I want you to remember something. Iran is helping Syria also. Many of you, y'all understand about the terrorists being armed, funded, and trained by many corrupt politicians around the globe, and it turns back to the globalist and this, that, and the other. But what a lot of you may not understand is each place that is installing these puppets, it is very closely linked with the Muslim Brotherhood. Okay. And these issues, this is a global issue. And yes, Trump is much better than Clinton, you know, but as I promised, not only my listeners, but myself as an American, I'm going to hold, I don't care if they're Republican or they're Democrat. I don't care if they're independent. I'm going to hold their feet to the fire. Because you made us promises, Mr. Trump, and we have no authority to be in Syria, period. We don't. We are in there illegally in the first place. And then you hear of these individuals talking about, well, let's do a no-fly zone over Syria. Who do you think you are? It's not your land. I mean, seriously, who do you think you are?
Well, it's just disgusting, isn't it?
Well, it's an act of war. And
yes,
so
is.
Many people are blinded that they don't even get it. And our corrupt in the government, oh, they know, John McCain, they know. And they know that the only reason they don't want those no-fly zones is to protect the daggone terrorists. It doesn't have anything to do with civilians. Because if they'd have left out of Syria and left them alone a long time ago, Syria would have already had them out of there. Already had them out of there. The people of Syria would not be being murdered en masse by the people who are funded, armed, and trained and given weapons by us. And that disgusts me. So now we know, with everything that I ran up with, we know that those quote-unquote, like the Arab Spring, that was sent in by Soros and everything else, and they were not peaceful protesters. They chop people's heads off. They eat hearts of dead Syrian soldiers. So when we come back, I'm going to show you exactly how General Mattis thinks, because I'm going to let him speak for himself. So after a word from our sponsor, I will share that with you. Please stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years, since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601 212-0911.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
I have actually been on Balance of Nature for a year now. I have MS, and I recently had an MRI. This is the first year that I've had a stable MRI, so I'm thrilled. When I have an MRI with MS, usually there are glowing spots that come through, which is damage on the nerves in my brain and my spinal cord, and when they're glowing, it means they're active. And then my last MRI, they pulled it up, and I honestly couldn't believe that it was my MRI. There was nothing glowing. And in fact, the dark spots were shrinking. They were healing. And the doctor actually said to me, I think we're in remission. I was so happy. I had no idea that that could be my reality.
Call now to find out how to get your free month's supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code TSL.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio, broadcast on RBN Network with me, Lori Anderson, and John O. hosting this evening. And we were in the discussion about the president-elect of the United States, Donald Trump's pick for the Secretary of Defense, General James Mad Dog Mattis. So before I have a clip of him explaining just how he feels, I don't support him, and I don't because he's pro-intervention, he's pro-Saudi Arabia. He's not what we need if we want to truly stop these illegal invasions, if we truly want to stop arming, funding, and training and helping these terrorists to try to overthrow a sovereign country. He is not the pick to do it. And Mattis, he praised the friendship of regional U.S. allies such as Jordan and the United Arab Emirates. He criticized Barack Obama and Donald Trump for their view of seeing allies as freeloading, saying, quote, for a sitting U.S. president to see our allies as freeloaders is nuts, unquote. What allies is he talking about? Well, he's, remember when Donald Trump, he stated, you know, he was talking about NATO. Well, remember, General Mattis was in NATO. So he's going to be pro-NATO. He stressed the need for the U.S. to bolster its ties with allied intelligence agencies, particularly the intelligence agencies of Jordan, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia. In 2012, Mattis argued for providing weapons to the Syrian rebels as a way to fight back against the Iranian proxies in Syria. Well, what are the Iranian proxies doing in Syria? They're in there helping President Bashar al-Assad defeat the terrorists that are murdering his people. And I'm not saying, like, Iran's good or bad. We all know that, you know, they are always chanting, I hate America, blah, blah, blah. Can you blame them? I mean, really? But this is on a different thing. They are inside Syria, just like Russia is, getting rid of these terrorists that are supported, armed, funded, and trained by us and other corrupt politicians around the globe. And General Mattis literally argued for providing the weapons to those rebels that are beheading children, civilians, people not even in the fight, guys. So let's hear from General Mattis himself. This was in 2013. And this was General Mattis discussing if the Iraq war was worth it. And he says that Assad would have fallen already without the Iranian intervention. So in this clip, he's going to explain to you why, you know, he feels that Assad would have already fallen had it not been for the help of the Iranians. Well, you know, guys, if Syria falls, where do you think they're going next? We just heard the clip from 2007 where they're going. It must be pathetic to be so bored that you think it is okay to kill innocents, to do whatever you want to do. If you would, please play LV4. And let's listen to what General Mattis has to say.
Iran right now, and I know you just came from a discussion on Iran. Here's a question I have, because I saw a quote that you had the other day in USA Today. Absent Iran's help, you said, I don't believe President Bashar al-Assad would have been in power the last 6 months. And I'd like you to explain how Iran is keeping Bashar al-Assad in power in Syria.
Well, I think, Wolf, you have to look at what happened in Syria and what developed there. Peaceful demonstrations, Assad's thugs start shooting on them. After Russia's regrettable veto in the United Nations, it's like Assad gets a second wind. But absent the Quds force, specifically a general named Soleimani, and his support, and the support, let me be very specific, weapons, ordnance, ammunition, leadership, fighters, money. Absent that orchestrated support under a rather murderous brigadier named Hamadani, I think Assad would have found himself simply overrun by the gathering momentum against him. As it is, he has been able to recently turn around with some tactical successes in western Syria, thanks to the Iranian support and the Lebanese Hezbollah support, Lebanese Hezbollah acting very much in concert with the orders out of Tehran. And now they're achieving actually some operational successes there that we didn't see 6 months ago.
We spent 10 years, the United States, mm-hmm. fighting in Iraq to create some sort of democratic, mm-hmm. stable regime.
Right.
The Iranians are transporting a lot of equipment to Syria, flying over Iraqi mm-hmm. airspace. Was that the way it was supposed to be when we devoted so much blood and treasure to trying to create a new Iraq?
Well, of course not, Wolf, but the world history has its own momentum. You've got a country, Iraq, that shares a border, that shares a religion, that shares economic conditions with Iran, and you put all that together, and there's going to be some kind of relationship between Iraq and Iran. Now, when we pulled out, we certainly didn't expect to see the airways used as a way for Iran to directly resupply Assad. But and I would say that Iraq has not done enough to interrupt that resupply
it's
effort.
It's not just the flyovers. Mm-hmm. The Iraqis, the Shiite-led government of Nouri al-Maliki in Baghdad, is doing a lot more than just that to help Iran in Syria.
Well, I'm not sure how much more they're doing. I think there's a fear that if Assad goes, then Al-Anbar province with its Sunnis could become a problem if a Sunni-dominated Syrian government comes into play. So what we're watching is Maliki's centralization of power in the executive branch, which is allowing him to do some of this, something that with the Sunnis and the Kurds trying to work together to offset him in the government, and certainly the latest elections put Maliki on the back foot. His party lost last week some of their provincial strength. We're going to see some political give and take, I think, here.
We're seeing a lot of bloodshed in Iraq right now. We don't pay a whole lot of attention to it.
You're right.
Because U.S. troops are out.
Mm-hmm.
But they're killing each other like crazy with these terrorist bombings.
Today, again, more than a dozen killed, several dozens wounded. This is primarily al-Qaeda trying to reincite the sectarian warfare, the ethnic violence. They have not succeeded so far. Imperfectly, Iraq is trying to settle its issues through politics. It's imperfect, but it is interesting as we watch the Arab Spring break out and the massive demonstrations in Tunisia, in Egypt, in Yemen. But did you notice in Iraq, there weren't massive demonstrations? Could it be that they believe that they actually have some say-so in their government? In other words, imperfectly, they are still trying to settle issues inside using politics. Now, the Iran and Syria issue is a serious one. We've demarched them about this, and we still think they're not doing enough to stop supporting that Iranian resupply.
Because you served in Iraq. Mm-hmm. You fought there. You know the sacrifices that Americans made starting in 2003, and you know how much money we spent, and hundreds of billions of dollars, to create an Iraq. And the question is this, and then I want to get back to Syria. Mm-hmm. The question is this, knowing what you know now, the relationship between the government in Iraq and the Iranians, was it worth it?
Well, history is going to have to tell on that.
But you served there, General.
Right, I have.
So you have some thoughts about whether or not the men and women who fought there and the American taxpayers who paid for it, was that war, knowing what we know now, worth it?
If Iraq, sitting at the geostrategic center of the Middle East, continues to mature in a democratic way, then I would say yes. Now, there's a big if, and
that's
I realize that. However, I think if you ask the troops coming home from World War II, we went to free Europe, you know, the ones who fought in Europe, did you really intend in 1948 to see half of Europe enslaved by the Soviet Union? They said, that's not what I fought for. History, when you deal with warfare, you're dealing with a fundamentally unpredictable phenomenon. It's all the more important to get your goals straight at the outset so you know what you want to do. And we gave the Iraqi people a chance, and they appear to be imperfectly, so far, still working that chance forward for democracy.
We wanted to keep a few U.S. troops there, but the Iraqis would not give immunity to U.S. Military personnel who remained behind. As a result, everybody left. Who's to blame for that?
Well, these negotiations are very difficult.
Because you were in the midst of those negotiations.
I was, yes. They are difficult negotiations. I believe that what we were doing there was trying to come to an agreement, but the way in which we had conducted our efforts in Iraq had made it very difficult for Maliki to acquiesce to the sovereignty issue over the troops. I don't think that it was any one person to blame. These are what happens in the give and take of international diplomacy. It just didn't work out. Now, what could have worked out, it would have taken both sides. It takes two to tango. And yes, it could have worked out. But the fact is, right now, we have not seen all the disasters that have been portrayed in the press of what was going to happen when we pulled out. It still hasn't happened.
And we're going to talk about Afghanistan, because we're in the midst of similar negotiations with the government in Kabul right now. But let's get back to Syria for a moment. You're now retired. You're free to speak out and say whatever you want. And and I know you will. You're fully capable of giving us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So what, if anything, should the United States be doing to get rid of Bashar al-Assad, assuming that's what the U.S. wants?
Yeah, well, frankly, Ms. Harmon, too, I've always kind of spoken my own mind. In fact, I've done it enough that it's a privilege to be invited here, because it's a privilege to be invited in front of any polite company anymore after some of the things I've said. Unfortunately, my mother knows, 91 years old, knows how to use a computer, and for you young men, make certain what you say, your mother is not going to chew you out for it, because even as a four-star general, it doesn't rate well with your mom. On Syria, I would just tell you on Syria, Wolf, ladies and gentlemen, that we are going to have to determine what is the end state we want. This war needs to be ended as rapidly as possible. That's the bottom line. But if the Americans go in, if the Americans take leadership, if the Americans take ownership of this, it's going to be a full-throated, very, very serious war. And anyone who says this is going to be easy, that we can do a no-fly zone, and it'll be cheap, I would discount that at the outset.
That's what Senator McCain says.
Well, I'm not pointing it at any one person.
He says that the U.S. should engage, even without a U.N. Security Council resolution, a no-fly zone over Syria.
We need some sort of international imprint, whether it's Arab League or GCC. We need the region to provide some sort of framework within which we would operate. Then we need to be very clear about our military end state contributing to what political end state. Otherwise, you're liable to invade a country, pull down a statue, and then say, now what do we do? You know what I mean?
We've been there. We've done it.
Yeah.
If the U.S. were to begin what Senator McCain and others want, a no-fly zone, meaning the Syrian Air Force couldn't fly, helicopters couldn't fly, jets couldn't fly anything, over Syrian airspace, as the U.S. and others did in Libya, for example, it would be a lot more difficult. In Syria, they have a much better air defense system than the Libyans had. Now, this is, we're not even, you know, these aren't apples. This is a huge, so presumably, the U.S. would first have to knock out all of the Syrian air defense systems. Is that right?
That's correct, but let's fall back to the political end state. Why do you want to take out their air support? Is it because they're using aircraft to kill most of the people on the ground? No, they're not. They're using artillery, machine guns, and mortars, and snipers. So let's have a reason for what we're going to do. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I've been up on the border in Jordan, where the magnificent Jordan Armed Forces are compassionately doing what they can for these refugees. I've seen refugees in Africa and Asia. I've seen them in the Dalmatian coast. I have never seen refugees as traumatized as I've seen there. We all want to do something to stop this. But the desire to do something, the intention to do good, does not take the place of pragmatic what is possible. We have no moral obligation to do the impossible and hawk our children's future because we think we just have to do something. In order to do it, a no-fly zone, you'd have to say that's going to have an effect that you, the American people, want.
I just want to let you all know, did you hear that? Okay, the Syrian refugees are refugees because of the people that we are arming, funding, and training and putting inside of Syria. That Saudi Arabia is putting inside of Syria. That Turkey is putting inside of Syria. There would be no problem with these refugees. There wouldn't be refugees had the Soros-funded Arab Spring not gone there in the first place. These individuals that are armed, funded, and trained by the globalist elite, corrupt people, and he talks about McCain, his buddies, with the terrorists, pictures all over the net. All you have to do is Google it. And his solution is what you're hearing. How about stop arming, funding, and training the terrorists. Let them fend for themselves. Pull out and get the heck out of NATO. He is very upset that we might would pull out of NATO. NATO has caused nothing but death and destruction around the globe. Okay, go ahead and finish playing that, please.
Or to do a no-fly zone, you'd have to say that's going to have an effect that you, the American people, want. So who is making the argument to you that this is what we need you to sign up for? Next, we have to show it's going to be militarily possible. I guarantee you, if ordered to do it, CENTCOM can do a no-fly zone. Guarantee you. It'll be very expensive. It'll have tankers. It'll have fighter planes up constantly. It will drain the treasury. It will take our hard-pressed military into one more fray. It's going to require helicopters and special forces to recover the pilots who get shot down. And can we do it? We're not a life insurance corporation. The commander-in-chief says go, we go. Can we do it? Absolutely. And the killing will go on the ground because they're not using aircraft to do most of the killing already.
Yeah, I don't think this administration, this president, is going to order anything along those lines.
Yeah.
After Iraq and Afghanistan, I think the American public is pretty weary of wars mm-hmm. right now as well. But what about arming the so-called good guys in this battle? There are a lot of opposition to Bashar al-Assad, but some of those guys are not necessarily friendly to the United States. No. They're al-Qaeda supporters and worse. So how do you know if the U.S.
Hold
is going to supply weapons
and we will
to the Iraqi opposition? How do you guarantee that these weapons
after
won't
hearing
wind
a word
up in
from
the
our
hands
sponsors.
Well, guaranteeing it, Wolf, will be very difficult.
So there's no guarantee.
But first of all,
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, rose the sea of tears.
Everyone, to resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I'm your host, Lori Anderson, joined with John O. tonight. And we've been discussing on whether the president-elect of the United States, Donald Trump's pick for Secretary of Defense, is the wisest choice to keep us out of unlawful invasions, which will, of course, we're talking about General James Mad Dog Mattis. We've been letting him speak for himself. We only have a few minutes left. So what we're going to do is, instead of finishing the clip, I am going to just discuss this. We only have a few minutes left, and I'm going to go ahead and take a call. And I want everybody to remember the military, and I love our military with all of my heart, but you do have duty to disobey unlawful orders. And your UCMJ, and whether you're given a directive from the president or not, it has to be a lawful order for you to follow that. When you're invading another country and you're the aggressor, are you willing to not follow your code? Because that's what you're doing without realizing it, because you've been ingrained so much to follow blind orders without asking questions. And many of you are very awake because you know we're supporting, arming, funding, and training those same terrorists, and you know you're going to end up facing your own hardware. Go ahead.
Yeah, real quick, Lori. I'm a vet, and I was in the Army for 6 years, and I can tell you, back when I was in, they actually gave a class on illegal orders. They don't do that anymore. They got rid of that in the 80s.
Because it doesn't fit their narrative. We do have a caller, I do believe. Who? Welcome, Richard.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, Richard. I was just listening to you. I don't know if this is your first time broadcasting on RPN.
No, I'm on here every, you know, I'm on here quite a bit.
I'm not sure, but you were offering your opinions on General Mattis.
Mattis. Yes.
Yes, I know how it's spelled. You know, and I'm just going to go through this. You know, I realize how you feel about that. You just put 20 minutes of General Clark up there.
No, that was General Mattis.
Clark was not about General Mattis, and I served under Sweeney, Livingston, Garganis, and Richardson. And look, you know, this is, I don't know how you can take Mattis and just shred him just because he was the first commander to relieve someone in combat, you know.
Okay, first of all, I never did shred him on anything. Before, at the very beginning, before I put up any of this information, I said how highly I respect him. However, historically, and everything he stands for is against what Trump has promised about being pro-invasion. So all I'm doing is putting out the facts as to what he has said for himself. I'm not shredding him. I highly respect the man. But he's not...
I'm really quick, too.
He's not somebody.
What you mentioned is, you know, he's willing to attack Iran, I guess, from what you say. Do you believe that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. He said that himself.
Do you believe, as Secretary of Defense, that he's going to promote, you know, another world war or something like that? Is that what you're
Did I ever suggest that?
Is that what you're suggesting? Because I don't believe
it is not. I'm suggesting I'm reporting on facts, and
citations also. You know?
Oh, yes, I did.
Citations.
Yes, I did. And I gave you his own words. So I'm not even going to go into something that I never said. Okay? You're not going to twist my words, sweetheart. I fully respect our military. I fully respect General Mattis. I even said, if you're in a foxhole, he's the one you want to be with. But I do know he is pro-invasion. He was pro and argued for arming and training the Syrian rebels. And if you check congressional record, you will see that. So I want to thank you for your call. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Lori, it's separating the soldier from the policy. Separate the soldier from the policy.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And with that, I want to thank you for your call. Go ahead.
Separate the soldier from the policy. Yep.
Exactly. Exactly. So I want to say thank you very much for your call. Research those facts on congressional record. And God bless each and every one of you. I hope you join me. I will be back tomorrow night.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.